CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, what we hear in church. Hey, there's a lot of things going on out there, and you know, we want to know what God's Word says about these things. You know, once again, I just want to encourage everybody, as we have Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of weeks, you know, as you're around the table, and I realize bad things can be said about politics and everything. I just want to remind all of you that are Christians, keep the focus on Jesus. You know, no matter what they say, well, you know, that's true, but it doesn't matter who's in the White House after this life, the judgment. And I think if you can keep people focused on that, they won't worry so much about the political venue, but rather their eternal destination. And I really believe that, again, we want to take every opportunity we have, especially around loved ones, friends, family, to point them to Christ. And so, again, for all of us, I think we'd be wise to focus on what's eternal. And again, that way you're not going. Now, you probably have some bad blood in there when you start talking about Jesus. But I want to be sure if somebody doesn't like me, I want to be sure they don't like me because of my political party. I want to be sure they don't like me because of what I say from God's word. You see, that's what God's going to hold all of us accountable to be about our Father's business. Joining me today's special guest, featured CSN speaker, we have with us Daryl Skinner with Chosen Generation Morning Times here on CSN. Hi, and welcome, Daryl.
Aloha, Mike, and aloha to all listeners out there. Great to be with you once again on this Thursday. Looking forward to the great calls that always come in and good questions. There's never a dumb question, folks. Just whatever you got in your heart, just give us a call. We're here to help you grow in your faith and be blessed in the Lord and to share your faith with those who are lost. And Mike, that was a good word. As the holidays are upon us, just have the joy of the Lord as your strength, and then share the love of God with everyone, the great salvation that's found in our Savior, and just love on them, love on them, and love on them. And the politics is over with. The election is done. And the right one is in power right now, you know, according to our values. And he's not a perfect man by any means, but none of us are. But he's got values towards our values, and so we got to keep him in prayer along with the new Congress and the new justices and so forth. Keep them all in prayer because these are a bit of crazy days. Already two assassination attempts on President Trump, and so we just got to pray God's protection upon him. And I like the appointment of Mike Huckabee, former governor and presidential candidate to Israel as ambassador. Good choice. So it's going to be an exciting time the next 4 years. And as God prospers our nation and as we have good success, but we've got to draw closer to him. The whole thing is always drawing closer to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully we can have peace in our land. Amen. Love one another as God has loved us. And that's the real high calling that we have. Mike?
Yeah, you know, being about daddy's business, that's so important.
You got it.
You know, Jesus needs to be preached in all the world. And I believe, again, that this is what we do. This is why we have fellowship. This is why we have Christian brothers and sisters around us to encourage us as we continue to do what God has called us to do. 8888. Ask CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. Again, toll free, 8888-ASK. CSN. And you can be part of the program. Got some lines open, as a matter of fact. And so you're sure to get on if you call right now. Going to the phones, we go. We have Mike on the line from Mojave, California. Hi, and welcome. Looking for Mike. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, but I'm from Las Vegas.
I'm sorry, Mike. my reader board said something different, but from Las Vegas,
yeah,
how can we...
I was just wondering, why did God command King Saul to go into a village and kill every man, woman, and child, including the animals? Is there an explanation?
Yes, there is. And in different places in the scripture, you'll find that sometimes God will mention a judgment for a cleansing for the land. Now, we realize that in many of these different cultures, they had very perverse procedures in their government and in their culture. And we know, again, as we see even in our own culture, we have AIDS, we have all the venereal diseases, these things. Back then, of course, they didn't have penicillin, modern medicine, things like this. And so understanding that many of the people that were born, many of the people that were living, very possibly could have been diseased, and well as their animals as well. Now, we know, again, that it wasn't just that people, but it was the animals as well, which is interesting, Mike, because, again, when we understand how far perversion really goes. Now, remember, sin is never static. And what I mean by static is this. It doesn't remain the same. They call marijuana a gateway drug. Well, why is that? Because marijuana is not enough. And this is because it progresses into something else. Sin is that way, because what satisfied the itch yesterday won't do it tomorrow, because really only God satisfies the heart. So man will go from one addiction to another addiction to another addiction, and in the process, not only destroying his life, but the life of many people around them. And so I believe personally the reason why you would find these kind of judgments, and not only when we find this, but you also find whether it be the Amalekites, whether it be those in Jericho, you find this because, again, of their pagan practices. Now, again, remember, they worshiped the Baals, and they would offer the newborn babies as burnt offerings, as the poor little baby would lay there in the molten arms of Molech, frying and sizzling, screaming to death. God brought a judgment. Now, I want to share this with everybody, whether it be this particular topic or the flood, those that died in it, didn't mean all the babies went to hell. But it does mean that the ball that adults put in motion can carry tremendous consequences for other people. Again, remember, when the Palestinians voted in Hamas for their government, then they went and attacked Israel on October 7th last year. Yes, my heart breaks for the children that have been killed on both sides. But this is a result of making bad decisions. You vote in terrorist organizations to be your government, then there's going to be consequences. And I believe this falls into this line as well, Mike, where these different countries, groups of people, because of their adaptive behaviors, their loose morals, all these different things, bring about judgments, not only of God, but also physically as well. And we see, of course, the AIDS epidemic that broke out in the homosexual community. The Bible very clearly says that people that have these kind of lifestyles reap the consequences of their lifestyles. Now God probably knows a whole lot more. Well, I know he knows a whole lot more than people do, not only in the physical realm, but also what it does culturally to people. And unfortunately, these cultures are ingrained in these children's brains as well. As I watched many smuggled out cartoons from Iran showing cartoons of Iranians killing Jewish children and babies, they ingrain it into their culture from the very beginning. And so this may also be one of the reasons. Your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%, Mike. It could be a disease-ridden culture and so forth. God says to eliminate them. You don't want to get their diseases. It could be just the judgment of God because they've been such an evil people like Sodom and Gomorrah. So these events, God knows best. Now, let's think about the scriptures, though. It says here that God's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. If he knows that a particular city or group of people or culture is not going to repent, and they've been doing wickedness, and then he has every right to judge them, they're going to be judged in hell forever, but he also has a right to judge them on earth, and he decided to use the children of Israel to do so. And he also wanted them to know that they're to be victorious over their enemies in regards to following the commandments of the Lord. It's very important for us to not to second guess what God does, because he knows more than we know, and he understands all things. And we don't have all the details. We wish we had all the details, but we don't. But we just trust in the Lord. He loves us so much. He sent his only begotten son to die a bloody death upon the cross. That's how much he loves us. Jesus died on that cross for us. He loves us. God's salvation is tremendous. And thus we realize the heart of God for all humanity. But when all humanity becomes wicked and vile and evil and disease-ridden and everything else, there's going to be a time of judgment. And that judgment is coming very soon in the Great Tribulation period. It's going to come upon the whole world. Jesus says there'll be tribulation upon the whole world, which is never experienced before. It's going to be powerful, powerful tribulation and judgment and wrath of God coming upon planet Earth. The judgment of flood was a one-time judgment. This is going to go over 7 years period. And it's going to be tremendous cataclysmic events will be taking place as the wrath of God comes upon a God-rejecting, Christ-rejecting world. So God knows best. We just trust in him. His word is true. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, so whether you're dealing with the Old Testament and God's judgment on a God-rejecting world or during the tribulation period, like it was in the flood, you know, I've seen some different things that say, oh, well, you know, at the rapture, all the babies are going to be raptured. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture.
Mm-mm.
That's made up, because God didn't take away the babies in the great flood that came upon the earth. Now, again, doesn't mean they went to hell. God's a fair God. They didn't have a chance to make decisions for themselves. And I believe many of those people that died in the flood, the children, I believe will be in heaven. But it doesn't stop the judgment of God because they are children from falling upon everyone, just as we find the same situation even during the tribulation. So, Mike, what you're asking about is not a once of occurrence. We find it many times through the Bible, then and yet in the time to come. Hope that helps.
Yeah, do you have time for one more?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Is it more proper to ask God in faith, in Jesus' name, one time for whatever we ask for, rather than asking him the same thing 647 times a year or whatever? I can't comprehend anyone here would want to be asked the same thing over and over and over. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm just as guilty as everyone else, but is there anything in Scripture to ask God just one time rather than 500,000 times?
Well, the Bible says in the book of James that God hears the prayer, the fervent prayers of a righteous man. And I believe because of that, fervent would mean maybe repetitious. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, because I'd rather see somebody pray about a problem and keep bringing it before the Lord than sit there and fidget about it and worry about it and let it destroy their peace. So no, I don't think there's anything that. Now, here's where I have a problem with a lot of the faith movement teachers, especially out of the Midwest. Well, if you ask God for something more than once, it's a denial of faith. That is a lie. That's not true. Now, isn't it funny that when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Well, I asked Jesus 5 years ago to give me my daily bread. I don't need to be doing it now, because that's what I heard some faith teachers say. Well, let's go by what Jesus says, where he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." The Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer is actually found in John 17. But when we look at this, we realize that that's a blueprint for our daily prayers, and give us this day our daily bread. So it's very clear that this was a prayer, a design, a blueprint, if you will, of what our prayer should contain on a daily basis. And if we're to thank God for our food, I don't pray over my food. I prayed over my food 25 years ago when I got saved. I don't pray over my food anymore. What kind of logic is that? And yet these faith-based teachers that aren't really faith-based at all, it's greed-based, really don't know what they're talking about. Because again, I believe the fervent, righteous prayers of a righteous man, the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Jesus told us in John 15, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So we know that we can pray once, or maybe we're not abiding in the word of God and understanding the will of God in that situation, so we may be praying again. But we don't want to be praying repetitious prayers. It would be like the Hail Mary prayer and going through beads on a rosary and thinking that some way, somehow, that's going to cause forgiveness for my sins, or saying the Our Father prayer over and over and over again. It's important to realize that the Bible says in 1 John 1, 9 and 10, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to be a people that are personal with God, not like treat him like a machine. You did your 10 Hail Marys, you punched your clock, and you're done. God wants to hear from us personally. He wants us to repent personally. He wants to deal with our sins, name our sins, confess those sins, ask forgiveness for those sins. And that keeps us in close fellowship with our Lord. It's important that, you know, we're saved, but we're not losing our salvation when we sin, but we're saved and we're living for the Lord and we're confessing our sins and we're keeping our fellowship strong with him because we're recognizing who we are in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of our sins, to make us more like Christ. And this is the goal that God has, to turn us into the image of God like he made us originally in the Garden of Eden. And now we have the power of Christ within us and the power of the Holy Spirit working through us and the word of God that is changing us. And thus we see this work taking place within our lives. So repetition, there may be sometimes you might say, hey, you know, Lord, I'm not sure what the answer is to this. You pray it again and maybe pray it again down the road, whatever it might be. But God is not deaf. He hears us loud and clear, and his answer may be yes, it may be no, and maybe wait. Sometimes the wait gets frustrating because we just have to let God put all those pieces of the puzzle together. Then all of a sudden, it all works out for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. And that's the whole purpose of our Christian life. Mike?
Yeah, you know, to find God's will, the Bible says to ask, seek, and knock. Those words in the Greek mean repetitiously. Ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. I believe this is how we find God's will in our life. And I believe this also increases our relationship with God. Okay, God, hey, thanks for talking to me 2 years ago. I've got my marching orders. And when I get another problem, I'll give you a call. No, that's not the way it works. It's a daily relationship. And that's what God wants. He wants us to come to him. He's our Father. We're his children. And I believe that really blesses God when we come to him every day. And you know, any of you having children, you know, maybe your kid comes and says, Daddy, 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 buy me a bicycle. Comes every day and says, buy me a bicycle. You already asked me and I said no. Well, I don't want to say that to my child. Because you know, someday, as he maybe gets older, learns about traffic signs and cars on the road, he'll say, Daddy, buy me a bicycle. And I'll say, yeah, sure, you can have a bicycle. Well, why didn't you give it to me 10 years ago or 5 years ago when I asked for it? You weren't ready for it. But the desire was still there. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Because the Bible says when we do those things, the door will be open to us. This is how we find God's will for our life. Mike, hope that helps.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you.
God's good. And Mike, if you need to, stay in line. We'll send you out to Movie Jesus based on the book of Luke, as well as a couple of books, DVDs. God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Lisa in Murphy, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi there, Pastor Mike and Pastor Darrell. I have a question regarding a church I just went to last week. They just finished a 12-part series on a theme called Open Heaven. And I didn't understand what they were talking about. It was an Assemblies of God church. And so I went on to Got Questions for Biblical Answers. And they implied that it was something popular among charismatics, gaining wealth and healing. And I was just wondering, is that the new apostolic reformation? Should I run like heck away from that place?
Well, you know, and again, it's hard to say because, you know, when we say a denomination like Assembly of God's. I know many Assembly of God churches are really right on. I have good, close fellowship with them. Others are like, but same, I can say the same for Calvary Chapels or for any denomination can be that way. It's not the denomination, it's the pastor in the pulpit. Now, when the Bible talks about heavens open, and this is where we have to be careful because they'll use biblical terms with different definitions. Now, in the Bible, when the Bible says God opened the heavens, that was concerning rain. When we find Stephen as he's being stoned to death, he saw heavens open and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus promised Nathanael, "Hereafter ye shall see heaven open." This is in John 1:51. Peter actually saw heaven opened as well as the sheet was let down from heaven. We find John, heavens were open to him as well. And he saw into that heavenly place where someday we're all going to go. The idea of I saw heavens open and now I'm just going to have money and health and it's all going to go my way because God is my Santa Claus and I've used my magic faith words to claim and possess and blab and grab what I want. Friends, that is not Christianity. I don't care who says it. I don't care what denomination says it. We are servants. And you know, when you really realize what the Bible says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as Jesus said, 6 million Christians were fed to the lions. 6 million Christians lost everything they had on this earth to gain heaven. And this idea does God want? No, because part of what we go through is a testimony for others. When we look at the disciples as an example, except for John, all died a martyr's death, with the exception of Judas Iscariot. But the point is this, would you die for a lie? So by their death, it's their testimony that the things they saw were true. And the 6 million Jews that were, those were Christians, fed to the lions and martyred and crucified during the first couple of centuries after Jesus ascended to heaven. Certainly, what was wrong? Oh, well, they just weren't using their magic faith words. No, that is not the case. And so these are the problems that we run into sometimes. We live in a very self-centered, egotistical society today. It's all about me, baby. In fact, when I go to the store, I look for magazines that says me or self. It's all about you. No, it's not. And that's why we become born again. Because for the first time in our life, when we become born again, we say it's about God, not about me anymore. But yet, I'm amazed how many churches will continue this idea that you're God and it all goes your way, baby. No, it's dangerous stuff. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, you know, I call this gimmick preaching. And they have all these gimmicks to excite people's flesh, to excite them about getting money and that they're going to have perpetual health, all these things. These are gimmicks. And it's not the Bible. When we look to the scriptures, what is sound doctrine? Well, did Jesus teach it in the four gospels? Did he teach it? Did he teach this open heaven kind of thing? No, he did not. Do we find it? The second test is, do we find it in the book of Acts? Is that what they taught and preached in the book of Acts, this open heaven things? We have some examples of heavens opened up, but it's not the same thing of this, you're going to become wealthy and heaven's open to you and you're going to be visited by angels, all these different things are going to happen. And then also the third aspect of the trifold test of sound doctrine is, what instructions do we have in the epistles? That's Romans to the book of Revelation. So the Gospels, Jesus, the book of Acts, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the early church, and then you have the instructions through the epistles. And not you don't have this trifold doctrine that's found about this open heaven teaching. It's not there. So why are they preaching it? They always go back, they pull scriptures out of context, and then they develop their little gimmick, and then they throw it out there to the people, see what's going to stick on the wall. And if people get excited about it, then they just carry it on. I think Peter sums it up well when he says this in 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Then it says this, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Covetousness, it always leads you to coveting materialism, money, and everything else. God wants us to glorify him, to live for him, to be changed into the image of Christ. He wants to change our character to be more like Jesus. That's why he came and died on the cross for us. Everything else is just God. Does he bless us? Yes, he blesses us. But our heart's goal is not to sit there, how can I get all these things in this open heaven theory gimmick? And that way I'm going to get rich. And it's like, you know, send your seed faith money to our ministry. Make sure it comes to us. And then if you give $100, God has to give you $1,000. You give $1,000, God has to give you $10,000, so on and so forth. These are gimmicks. This is teaching and preaching covetousness, which the scripture says. And it's wrong. It's false. And like I said, you don't meet the criteria of a threefold sound doctrine, which is the Gospels, the Book of Acts, and the Epistles. You don't have it. This open heaven teaching that they're teaching, that's a gimmick. Mike?
Amen. Hope that helps, Lisa.
Yes, it does very much. Thank you so much.
You know, and I don't know, sometimes ministers say things. It doesn't mean everything they say is bad. But I think you have to, again, go back. And when the Bible uses terminology, and I think it's really important, we'll see the gates of heaven opened up. See, it's in the Bible. But what that's talking about is something completely different. It gives you a glimpse into the heavenly realm where we find Jesus standing as Stephen is being stoned to death. Well, that doesn't sound like a prosperity gospel. He should have used his magic faith words and just walked away from those guys chucking those rocks. You see, this is where it can get crazy. So again, we just have to be careful. Use what the Word of God says. And, you know, I'm not saying not to go to a church like that, but I'm saying you certainly want to examine it a little closer. Stay online if you like. Send you out some books and DVDs. Coming up on a break, and we'll be back for more right after this.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. And if you're in Hawaii, visiting Honolulu and the Pearl Harbor Memorial. I know Daryl would love to see you. And so, Daryl, tell us about your fellowship there, how to get to your church, and how they can walk up and say hi to you.
Well, we're located right in the center of the island. Just go to our website for directions, calvarychapelpearlharbor.com. And our Sunday services are at 8:30 and 10:30. And then at also Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and then Wednesday nights at 6:30. We have just a variety of Bible studies going on, home fellowships going on, women's studies going on, men's studies that go on. Just the people in the church are just vibrant. They're just loving the Lord, doing all kinds of good works. It's just a great blessing. My wife just had a Friendsgiving gathering with about 120 ladies there on Tuesday night as Thanksgiving is coming upon them, and they had a great time together. And so a lot of great things happening. I'm probably going to be starting 1 John coming up. We just finished 1 and 2 Peter. So I'm going to be starting up 1 and 2 John here at the services. Of course, we're running into holidays. We're going to have a special holiday musical called Willy Wonka's Mele Kaliki Maka. And it's going to be a performance along with a lot of music. And it's going to be exciting. It'll be on December 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right before Christmas at 6 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time together. And it's a lot of fun and also a time of salvation, of course. So thanks for asking, Mike. How's it going at your church, Mike?
Good, good. And we just once again want to let everybody know, if you're in the Southern Idaho area, we'd like to see you there at the River Christian Fellowship on the way to Shoshone Falls. Always great things happening there. Back to the phones. We go. We have Tim on the line, Joshua, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Well, hello there.
How may we help?
Well, quick question. When Christ comes back to earth and he reigns 1,000 years, will the people that have died and were been raptured before that second coming, will we be come with him and be here during that 1,000-year reign?
Yes, to rule and reign with him on the earth in glorified bodies. Your thoughts?
Yeah, when a believer dies, ultimately, and then the rapture happens, we'll be in the heaven as all believers will be there as the great tribulation unfolds for 7 years. Then at the second coming of Christ, the Bible says in Book of Revelation 19, we're all to mount up on these horses and we're going to come back to the earth. Christ will destroy the enemies of God. All those who took the mark of the beast will find themselves being cast to Hades, waiting for the final judgment, which will be the lake of fire. And then we will reign and rule with Christ for 1,000 years. It's probably going to be much like the Garden of Eden in its tapestry and geography, and as well as just the peace of the Lord and the lion, the wolf and the lamb lie down together and so forth. And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time. And we're going to be a kingdom of priests, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1. We're a kingdom of priests that will be ministering to those who did not take the mark of the beast, who made it through the tribulation. And they're going to be populating the earth with their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So it's going to be a great population explosion. And we're going to be as spiritual leaders for them as believers in Christ. And always remember, we're going to have the mind of Christ fully glorified. And so sometimes people go, well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, God knows what we're to do. He's going to put us in the right place doing the right things for this population that's going to take place during the 1,000 years. Satan is bound, of course. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be released. There'll be one final rebellion. Man has to make a choice. Does he want to live for the Lord or hate the Lord? And there'll be one final rebellion. Jesus will destroy his enemies. Then we head off to the new heavens, the new earth, and a new Jerusalem. New heaven speaks of a new universe. This universe that we're living in, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is going to be burnt up, melted in fervent heat. So it's going to be gone. And we get a new heavens, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem where righteous dwells forever. So that's a quick scenario of the last days. But all believers will find themselves with the Lord and then coming back with him at the second coming to reign and rule for 1,000 years. Mike?
Tim, hope that answers it for you.
Well, yes and no. So the final judgment, is that after that 1,000-year rule?
The final judgment is not for believers that died in the tribulation period or were raptured before that. The Bible tells us that we all stand before a judgment seat. some for everlasting condemnation, but some for reward. Now, again, the great white throne judgment is when everybody's works have come to full fruition that were not believers in God. That's where the great thing comes from. Think about somebody that started a cult. Maybe there's only 25, 30 members at the time. Now there's millions. That person is going to endure a judgment. Why did they start the cult? Well, maybe it was for popularity. Maybe for money. Maybe it was to be seen of men. Don't know, but whatever it is, at the end of all things, when everybody's works have come to full fruition, the books are open, the Bible says, and those names who are not found written in the book of life are cast in the lake of fire that burns forever. Now, that also means those that believed in Christ during the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ. In other words, if there was somebody on the earth, the Bible says if somebody dies during that time, 100 years old, they'll consider him a child because the longevity of human beings will go back to 1,000 years again like it was before the flood. But here's the great problem. They don't die as a believer in Christ. And I believe there'll be many Christians during the millennial reign, and they may die. They don't go in the ground, pop back out in a glorified body and start ruling and reigning with Christ. The Bible doesn't say that. It says they will be in the great white throne judgment. That's why it says those names who are not found written in the book of life. So there's going to be the people who accepted Christ during the tribulation period, during the millennial reign of Christ, and all those from the beginning of time, including Cain, probably all those going clear back to the beginning who died outside of faith, the books will be opened and they will be judged. That's why the Bible says the sea gave up the dead that was in it. That's kind of a weird remark. People go, oh, those poor people that died in a submarine. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about those who died in the great flood. They're going to be judged. You see, this is why it's important when we accept Christ to realize that not only our sins are forgiven, but the repercussion of those sins that we carry in our life and the future damage it will do to others as well as ourselves. So again, the past sins forgiven, so important in a believer's life that are forgiven. Now, again, you're going to find those that died in the tribulation period, according to Revelation, and those that went up in the rapture, and those that died in faith before that time, rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. Then the Bible says at the end of the 1,000 years, there's a rebellion against the Lord, Satan is loosed, and then we find the great white throne judgment. And that's where Satan, false prophet, the beast, chaos in the lake of fire, burns forever, as well as all those that embellished the devil's lie as well. They get the same reward as well as the fallen angels. So that's why the Bible says today is the appointed day of salvation. Any last thoughts on that?
I would say this, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're going to receive everlasting life when you die or you go up in the rapture. And the Bible says we're going to receive a glorified body. Not only are we told that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in regards to the rapture itself, but also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that we desire this, we're groaning for this new body that we're going to receive. It's going to be a glorified body. What does that mean? It's going to be a body that is made for eternity, for heaven and for earth, and it's never going to get old. It's never going to decay. It's never get diseased. You're not going to get wrinkles. It's forever young. What age will we be? I really don't know. In appearance, I really don't know. But I know this much, we're going to be forever young and forever energetic and forever without that being tired and so forth because we get this glorified body that the Lord has promised us. And we're all looking forward to this. And even Paul the Apostle, he got a glimpse of heaven when he was stoned there in the book of Acts, and he writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says that I was caught up to the third heaven, speaking of heaven itself, and also known as paradise. And he says, there are things that I was hearing that are just totally, absolutely inexpressible. I cannot even describe it, so magnificent. And folks, we have so much to look forward to. It's going to be glorious forever and ever and ever. Mike, I'll hand it back over to you.
Amen. And so, Tim, hope that answers it for you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Stay online. Send you out the movie Jesus DVD based on the book of Luke, as well as 101 Last Days Prophecies and a little book called Time to Grow. Great to share with your friends. Let's go to RJ, Amarillo, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me on the radio. My question is, I have a good friend that Jehovah Witness, and
RJ, I think we might have lost you there. Okay, can you repeat your question again?
Yes, sir. I have a good friend that's a Jehovah Witness, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I seen him just a little while ago, and you know, we're good friends, and I gave him a hug, and I told him, God bless you. And I remember reading something in the Bible about saying not to say God bless you to, I don't want to say enemy, but, you know, someone outside. And I just wanted to see if I was correct on that.
Well, I think that is pertaining more to what their behavior is and what they're doing. I don't want to say Godspeed to somebody that's spreading rumors about a cult. But I think you can say to even a non-Christian, God bless you, because in that blessing, they may find Christ. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think try to work with everybody according to your relationship with them. As you do that, you're going to, and of course, when you're sharing with someone who's a non-believer, someone in a cult, non-believer, you want to pray for discernment and wisdom and knowledge and understanding how to reach them. And so you just let God kind of unfold the conversation, and then you're able to say, okay, Lord, how can I share with them? Because they're starting to talk about their particular views, and I want to deliver your word into their hearts. The truth will set them free, is what Jesus has told us. They're held captive in the lies of Satan and the lies of that cult, or the lies of the world and the culture. And so we want to share with them the truth of God's love and God's goodness, as well as God's judgment. And we have to take every opportunity we can. Now, I think you can have a good relationship with them. I mean, it's hard to say God bless you to someone who's spreading a false doctrine. That doesn't really work, because God's not going to bless them because they're spreading false doctrine. But, you know, some other maybe goodbye might be better. Here in Hawaii, we just say aloha. But anyway, it is what it is. So, you know, but I think it's important to realize, you know, we can't ask God's blessing upon someone who doesn't believe in God or believe in – the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is the Archangel Michael, which is far from the truth. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, very straightforward in Matthew chapter 1 there. And you can't miss it. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's not the Archangel Michael. No angel ever receives worship. Jesus received worship because he is God. He's deserving of our worship and praise. So anyway, just a little quick side note on Jehovah's Witnesses. Mike, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, I think when we build relationships with people, I have a friend, and he told me, he says, you know, sometimes you have to earn the right to share the Lord with people. And I think befriending people sometimes is a good thing, not condoning what they're doing, but showing that there's a genuine interest in their life and how can I help make your life better. And if I ostracize myself from them, well, I'm just too righteous and holy to hang out with people like you. I think we really do ourselves a disservice and the kingdom of heaven, because I think about how much stuff God's forgiven me for. And because of that, I want to reach out and to those that are lost as well. You know, sometimes people that are in sin, they feel like nobody else has sinned as bad as they have. And then they get a bunch of self-righteous Christians around them that look down their noses at them, forgetting everything that God has forgiven them for. Well, I wasn't as bad as they were. No, but your pride is worse than theirs is. And you see, pride is the root of every sin. And when we all realize we're sinners saved by grace, no good thing dwells in the flesh, rich, poor, in between, it doesn't make any difference. We all need a Savior. And so whatever I can do to help bridge a message of truth to somebody, that's what I want to do. Paul said, I become all things to all men that I may win some. And again, I've said this so many times, doesn't mean we become a drug dealer to minister to drug dealers, or we get into a cult to minister to the cults. What it means, though, is that, hey, as a matter of fact, buddy, Jesus loves you, and I'm here for you if you need to talk. And I think there's so many things, because so many people have so many questions. And again, Jesus is the truth. Hope that helps.
Yes, it did. Amen. I really appreciate y'all. Thank you.
God bless you, RJ. I'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow. Maybe you can get it into his hands. May do him a great bit of good, as well as the movie Jesus and 101 Last Days Prophecies. Let's go to Linda in Bakersfield, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My concern is, as I've been reading through the Bible, I'm between Ezekiel chapters 10 and 12, how it talks about the cherubim, and I know it's got four faces, but it talks about the wheel, he's the wheel within the wheel. I've heard that said about Jesus. I'm not understanding about the wheel and the wheel. We sang songs about it, but I'm just not understanding that.
Yeah, and especially if you go to Ezekiel 1, you find it all over there again. Your thoughts, Daryl?
I think as this supernatural event was taking place, sometimes we try to dive in too deeply, not fully just accepting for what it just says. And as you look to this passage of Scripture and what God was doing with the angelic realm, as well as giving a vision to Ezekiel and so forth, and all the things that were taking place, I think you just take it all in and realize this is what's being seen, this is what's happening, and don't try to dive in too deeply or too intricately in this, and just let the context unfold itself right before your very eyes. So I would just keep it simple as you read through the passage and not dive too overboard in this thing. It's important to realize that many times God shows these things or reveals these things to us so we understand his power and his love and his grace and also his judgment as we look to these events that take place throughout the Bible. Mike, I'll give it over to you.
Amen. Linda, I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. You know, again, when we look at these things, there's a lot of things that are pretty interesting about wheels. And, when you get, and I don't completely understand it, but when you get into gyroscopes, for instance, they defy the laws of gravity in many ways. You can take an aluminum disc. You can try to stick a magnet to it all day long. A magnet has no effect on aluminum until it spins. And they've taken an aluminum disc, spun it very high speed, put a piece of glass over the top of a spinning disc, similar to a DVD. They put a piece of metal on top that normally would have no effect, but because the aluminum is spinning, it flings the piece of metal off. How is that working? What is changing? And it may very well be something to do with rotating wheels. I don't know. And again, going back to what you said, Daryl, it's a spiritual thing. I don't know. But maybe something to do with the spinning of wheels has something that breaks the bond of gravity. I don't know. Or breaks certain physical laws, like aluminum is not attracted to a magnet until it spins. And then it has an effect on iron. These are things to me that are very amazing. And there's a lot of things like that in the Bible. In the book of Job, and I believe it's chapter 38, it says, can you send out lightnings, plural, can you send out lightnings that go to you and say, here we are? People would breeze over that and say, oh, what interesting poetry. But friends, when you really realize what that verse is saying, there in the book of Job, God is speaking, saying light can be modulated. Now, we know what fiber optics are. Most people that have computers have some kind of a fiber optic leading their internet to their house in some way, or at least on the power poles. Can you send out lightnings, plural, that will go to you and say, here we are? Also tells me that light, which radio frequencies, depending on what frequency, the higher you go, becomes different parts of the spectrum, can be modulated. What that tells me is radio is possible. God knew about it. He wrote it there in the book of Job. There was a United States captain, a naval commander, who was reading the Bible and saw in the book of Job, God is speaking that the oceans are on circuits. He thought, that's interesting. Is this just poetry, or does this really mean something? And to find out that he thought, if the oceans are on circuit, where are they? And they found if they would travel from the United States coast on the East Coast and drop down, I think it was several hundred miles, they would pick up the current, the circuit, going towards Europe, and they could cut the time of travel in half. All because this captain read the Bible. The Bible says the ocean is on circuits. Up to that time, people didn't know that. I wonder how much more wisdom and knowledge is there in the things that God said to Job and his buddies that we not yet have understood what God is saying. Do you realize in the mind of God, there's a cure for cancer? Do you realize in the mind of God, there is a solution for every problem that befronts man? But we just don't know it. And so I believe, again, when you look at these things, and God's saying light can be modulated. In other words, light can carry different pulsations that will translate into language that you will understand, is exactly how all of our fiber optics, how radio and television work. God wrote it down. One of the oldest books in the Bible, God knew it from the beginning. Linda, I hope that helps.
Thank you very much. It does.
God bless you, Linda, and stay online. We'll send you out some books and DVDs. I think you'll enjoy that. Let's go to Hazel in Highland, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, how may we help?
Hello, Pastor Pastor Mike and Pastor Darold, and thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, why would God kick out the devil and one-third of the angels that followed him out of heaven and place man in his presence? And I thank you so much for answering.
Okay, Daryl, your thoughts.
And place man in his presence, or place, are you talking about in the very beginning, the Garden of Eden? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, from the very beginning, yes. Yes, sorry.
Well, the angels in heaven they have the opportunity to choose, just like we have free choice, free will, and thus we choose either to come to God and recognize our Creator and Savior Jesus Christ, or we can reject him. And the angels at some point in time in the heavenlies, they had a choice to follow God or to follow Lucifer. Lucifer boasted of himself. Isaiah 14 tells us this, the five I wills of Lucifer. And he said he was greater than God. He'd be like the Most High and so forth. And then he convinced angels in heaven that they wanted to follow Lucifer, a third of the angels, follow Lucifer instead of God. There was a moment in time, there was a free will choice in heaven, and these angels chose to rebel against God, which then they became without God in one's life. You're going to lose the light of God, which is the righteousness of God. You're also going to lose the life of God that's everlasting with him, and you're going to lose the love of God. And thus, they became vengeful against God. They became vengeful against his creation. And thus we see the wickedness and the vileness and the disease and the death that we have today. And God told Adam and Eve, if you eat, partake of the knowledge of the tree of the good and evil, you're going to surely die. They listened to the devil. They followed the devil. They rejected God and his word. And thus we're in the mess that we're in today. But Jesus loves us so much, he went to the cross and died for our sins. So we have everlasting life with him. So this is what's the free choice was in heaven with the angels, as well as free choices on earth right now. We pray that everyone would choose to come to Christ for salvation, his great love, and live with him everlasting in heaven. Mike, give it back to you.
Amen. Yeah, you know, when you look at the creation of God, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good, very good. After every day, I think except for one or two, he say everything he saw was very good. I do not believe the devil was on earth at that time. I believe the original plan of God, when it was revealed to the angels, that God was going to make man a little lower than the angels. That did not bother Lucifer. That did not bother any of the angels. But then the Bible says that those who choose to follow him, having never seen him, never seen his greatness, his glory, all these things, God would elevate above the angels and call him his bride. I believe this is where Satan's rebellion began. I believe it was after God created the heavens and the earth, after he put man in the garden. But this is where Satan came down. And imagine the plan, God telling all the angels there's going to be a creation initially lower than you, but then it's going to be above you. And as a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know someday you will judge angels? I don't think that dealt well with Lucifer. I think this is where the pride came from. I think this is where the angels rebelled with. And whatever it was, it had to be pretty magnetismal, because when you have a third of the host of heaven rebelling with Lucifer, the only thing I can think is they were going to be displaced in their original position. Crazy things. And so I believe this is what started it. And again, where the Bible says someday you'll judge angels, I believe it's talking about the fallen angels, the demons, there in 1 Corinthians 6. Hope that answers it for you, Hazel. Stay in line. If it didn't, please call us back. We'll put you on tomorrow. We're all out of time, everyone. Thank you, Daryl, for being on.
Thank you.
And God bless you all. Again, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store, or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.